and Ramchandra Kaviraj. It's his disappearance day. I just pulled this off the internet this morning, some short description. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the son of Venkata Bhatta, a Sri Vaishnav Brahmana, appeared in Sri Rangam, South India. Lord Chaitanya once stayed 4 months in his home and converted the family to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. A mere boy at this time, Gopal personally served the Lord. Sri Chaitanya treated him affectionately, giving his remnants and blessings to become an acharya. After receiving invitation from Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati, Gopal Bhatta came to Vrindavan and became a dear friend of Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. He did bhajan in Vrindavan for 45 years, mostly at Radha Kund. On pilgrimage, he obtained 12 Shalagram Shilas. Later, the Damodar Shila manifested himself as the beautiful Radharaman deity. I'm sure they're having a big festival there today. Since 1542, Radharamanji has been worshipped with pure devotion following precise shastric rituals. Lord Chaitanya ordered Gopal Bhatta to write a book to check the spread of pseudo-loving rasas and negligence to Vaidhi Bhakti. In corroboration with, which is, should be collaboration, in collaboration with Sri Sanatan Goswami, he compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, the authorized book explaining the ritual and devotional practices of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. He also wrote Sat Kriya Deepika and the outline for Sri Jiva Goswami's Shat Sandarbhas. Jiva Goswami mentions this at the beginning of his Sandarbhas, that he's working from the notes of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He eternally serves Srimati Radharani as one of her Ashna Manjaris, Guna Manjari. His samadhi is within Radharamanji's temple compound behind the appearance place of the deity. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated Gopinath Puri Goswami, a lifelong brahmachari who served Radharamanji for his whole life. Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated Srinivas Acharya and many other stalwart Vaishnavas. And Ramchandra Kaviraj was the son of Sri Chiranjeev Sena, an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. He appeared in Sri Khanda. This is a quote from somewhere. Ramchandra Kaviraj was especially earnest, beautiful, intelligent, energetic, and enthusiastic, said one biographer. Although married, Ramchandra and his wife, Ratanala, had no material attachments. They stayed fully engaged in the loving service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had no children. With steadfast devotion, he served his spiritual master, Srinivasa Acharya. So we have a line here, huh? Gopal Bhatta, Srinivas, and Ramchandra Kaviraj. In Vrindavan, Sri Jiva Goswami gave him the title Kaviraj, King of Poets. He wrote the following verses. Prakashila Mahaprabhu Hare Krishna Mantra Premera Vadara Kari Barira Samsar Anda Avadhi Yata Kari Parsha Binduna Padila Mukhe Ramchandra Das. Sriman Mahaprabhu is so kind that he manifests the nectar of the Hare Krishna mantra. The holy name will free all souls from the cycle of birth and death, from lower planets and from hell. The holy name will give one a taste of divine love for Radha Madhava. Whether blind or dumb, anyone can drown in this flood of prema. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has filled everyone with love of God. But Ramchandra Das is so unfortunate that he couldn't even taste a drop of that nectar. Ramchandra Kaviraj was one of the 8 Kavirajas, famous poet disciples of Srinivas Acharya. Ramchandra wrote Smarana Darpana, Smarana Chamatkar, Siddhanta Chandrika. He preached widely and initiated many disciples. Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra lived together as best friends. Narottam Das wrote, Doya Kore Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivas, Ramchandra Sangha Maghe Narottam Das. O Srinivas Acharya Prabhu, please give me your mercy. Narottam Das always prays for the association of Ramchandra Kaviraj. In the form of Karna Mandari, he serves Srimati Radharani in Brajalila. His samadhi is in Dhira Samira Kunja, next to Srinivas Acharya. Vaishnav Thakur's ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra, Text number 34 through 37. We'll do the first one responsively. Word meanings. Atha, then, Uchuhu, said Munayaha, the sages, Rajan, O King, Parikshit, Abhasya, speaking, Anaka Dundubhin, to Vasudeva, Sarvesham, all, Shrinvatam, as they listened, Rajyam, the kings, Tata Eva, also, Achyuta Ramayo, Krishna and Balaram. So there's a mistake actually in the second line here in that we're going to chant. Oh no, it's actually fixed here. I was looking at it on the database and it was wrong. Okay, it's correct here. So please repeat. Atochur Munayo Rajan. Abhasyana kadundubhim Sarvesham shrinvatam rajyam Tathaiva chuta ramayo Ato chur munayo rajan Abhasyana kadundubhim Sarvesham Shrinvatam Rajyam Tathaiva Chyuta Ramayo Ato Chur Munayo Rajan Abhasyana Kadundubhim Sarvesham Shrinvatam Rajyam Tathaiva Chyuta Ramayo. Sarvesham Shrinvatam Rajyam.
Sarvesham Shingatam Rajam Tataiva Chutaramayo.
Ladies.
Ato Chumanayo Rajam Abhasyana Kadundurhim Sarvesham Shingatam Rajam Tataiva Chutaramayo Ato Chumunayo Rajam Abhasyana Kadundurhim Sarvesham Shingatam Rajam Tataiva Chutaramayo.
Translation: Shukadeva Goswami continued. The sages then spoke again, O King, addressing Vasudeva, while all the kings, along with Lord Achyuta and Lord Rama, listened. 35, you can chant along.
Karmana karma nirhara esha sadhu nirupita yashodhaya jai vishnu sarva yagyeshwaram adhai.
The sages said, it has been definitely concluded that work is counteracted by further work when one executes Vedic sacrifices as a means of worshipping Vishnu, the Lord of all sacrifices, with sincere faith.
Chittasya pashamoyam vai kavibhi shastra chakshusha darshita sugamo yoga dharmaschatma mudava.
Learned authorities who see through the eye of scripture have demonstrated that this is the easiest method of subduing the agitated mind and attaining liberation, and that it is a sacred duty which brings joy to the heart.
I am swasjayana pantha dvijate griha medina yasvadayapto vittena shukle jita purusha.
This is the most auspicious path for a religious householder of the twice-born orders, to selflessly worship the personality of Godhead with wealth honestly obtained. Purport. Both Sridhara Swami and Sri Jiva Goswami here agree that the ritual karma of Vedic sacrifices is particularly meant for attached householders. Those who are already renounced in Krishna consciousness, like Vasudeva himself, need only cultivate their faith in the Lord's devotees, his deity form, his name, the remnants of his food, and his teachings, as given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
The context here is that Vasudeva at Kurukshetra is taking the opportunity to inquire from the sages. In the 10th canto, when Garga Muni arrives in Braja to give the name-giving ceremony, so then Nanda Maharaj, he describes himself as a fallen householder. Grihinam Dina Chetasam, he says, only saints like yourself, you come to give blessings to us householders because we're so attached. So here we see Vasudeva, he's taking the same mood. I'm just an attached householder, and now I had the opportunity to question the sages, so I'm going to take that opportunity. So Vasudeva asked this question. What verse was that? Anyway, it's back here. He asked his question. Basically, his question was, how does one counteract work with work? And then Narada Muni, before the eight sages replied, Narada said, it's not so amazing that in his eagerness to know, Vasudeva has asked us about his ultimate benefit. for he considers Krishna a mere boy. So all the sages are thinking, why is Vasudeva asking us this? He's Krishna's father. So Narada is saying, well, this is his humility, so I'll just answer his question. So now this is what we're hearing. The sages are saying, okay, we'll do our duty. We'll respond to Vasudeva's question. And it says that Lord Krishna and Balaram are there. They're listening to what the sages have to say. So Vasudeva is inquiring. Quite an assembly we have going on here. We have all these great sages. We heard their names. They're arriving from all over the universe. And Vasudeva is questioning them, and Krishna and Balaram are listening to their answer. So they reply, karmana karma nirhara. The counteraction, karma nirhara. The counteraction of karma. Here karma is translated as the reactions of past actions. Sometimes we get in trouble throwing this word karma around because we don't know, because it can mean different things. Karma actually means work. But we talk about karma as the reaction to the work. And even here it seems to be used that way. Karma nirhara, counteracting the reaction of karma. So karma is both the action and the reaction. Although maybe more clearly it's karma phala, the fruit of the karma. But here it's used that way as the result of karma. So they're saying the counteraction, let's see, what does it say? When one executes Vedic sacrifices as a means of worshipping Vishnu, the Lord of all sacrifices, with sincere faith. Well, this is an important word here. Shraddhaya. With faith, yajet, one should worship Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Sarva yajya ishwaram. Makai, Vedic rituals. Tretayam yajito makai. That verse it says in the four ages. Kalotadhari kirtana. In Kali Yuga, we perform sankirtan, that's prescribed dharma. But in Treta Yuga, Tretayam yajito makai. So makai is mentioned here. Vedic fire rituals. Was it here we were reading earlier? Somewhere it was described that this is especially for the neophytes, the fire, because the neophytes want to see something eaten. Actually, they wanted to see it disappear, then they'll believe that God has eaten it. But if you're more advanced, then you have faith that God has eaten it, the prasadam or the bhoga that was offered to him. You don't have to see it disappear. But if you're more in material consciousness, you want to see it disappear so that you have the understanding that God is eating through the fire. The fire represents his mouth. So he's actually consuming. So when we're giving it to him, we can see he's actually eating it. So, Shraddhaya, that's another reason people get faith when they're on that platform. So this, I often think there's so much about Vedic sacrifice. We hear sacrifices for Treta Yuga, but it seems like it's everywhere in our books. And even in Dwapara Yuga, it seems like, well, even here, we'll see after this is done, a Vedic fire sacrifice will take place. I've always thought it's curious. We don't really, Dwapara Yuga is for deity worship, but we don't really hear anything about deity worship in our books. Even Krishna, when he's speaking in Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, he doesn't say anything about deity worship. All we hear is about sacrifice. It seems like the idea of sacrifice really pervades the Vedas. Of course, the original four Vedas, they're all about Vedic sacrifice. And they're so intricate, of course. There are all different kinds of sacrifice. There's Griha Yajna, which the householders have to perform every day in their home. There are certain sacrifices that have to be performed. And then there are big sacrifices. In all the big sacrifices, there are always at least 16 priests, actually 17 priests. There are priests that serve different functions. There's four specific functions, which I can't remember exactly what they are right now. Some are for chanting mantras, some are for setting things up, and there's referee priests and so on. And then there's one overall referee priest. So there's four for each of those four functions, and then there's one overall referee priest. And he's there to make sure that there are no mispronunciations, especially because we know what happens if you say something wrong. You could be in big trouble. So these big sacrifices, of course, these are the kinds of sacrifices that would take place. We hear about often big kings would sponsor them. They would get the wealth of some citizens, wealthy citizens, or bring them from other places. I was trying to remember if I got this, I was remembering this, but I wasn't sure I had it right exactly, but it's, as I remember it, when Krishna was going to, when Maharaj Yudhishthira was going to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, then he needed, it takes a lot of wealth, it takes a lot of gold. So as I remember it, maybe someone can confirm if this is true, that Krishna told him there was this king who performed this great sacrifice a long time ago. Maybe it was Mandata, I'm not 100% sure of that. Marut, was it? Marut. So, actually, the way Prabhupada tells the story, says the after the sacrifice, I think this was the same one, the all the gold paraphernalia and utensils used for the sacrifice and for serving the guests also, everything was gold. And after the sacrifice was done, the performer of the sacrifice, the initiator of the sacrifice, just gave away all the gold to the Brahmins. Because the Brahmins would congregate these big sacrifices. Of course, they would receive things in charity. But the way Prabhupada tells it, so they got all this gold, but they had to walk all the way back to their village somewhere. So they, well, I don't want to carry this. It's too heavy. So they just threw all, they just left it by the wayside as they were leaving to go home. So I think that the connection, if I remember this correctly, was that Krishna said, there's all this gold that was left in this particular sacrifice. And Arjuna, if you go there, you can get this gold to finance Yudhishthira's Rajasuya Yajna, or maybe some Ashwamedha Yajnas, because he also performed Ashwamedha Yajnas. So Arjuna is called Dhananjaya because he got all this gold, he got all this wealth for this sacrifice. So these big sacrifices, they cost a lot of money. And things are consumed, mounds and mounds of grains, and ghee, of course. So much ghee was brought. Now here we'll hear that after this, a sacrifice will be performed. So I'm wondering, well, I wonder if they had everything ready, or maybe this was just, they just kind of used what they had available there at the moment and had a sacrifice. Of course, they were going there for some reason. Obviously, it was a planned trip. So maybe they brought along with them the ingredients for performing the sacrifice, as it seems they were doing, even at this time, at the end of Dwapara Yuga. So the principle of sacrifice is very important, of course. I was reading, some of you may have seen, read Ananda Maharaj's Bhagavad Gita. I like the way he's done it. It's very nice. Because he's taken out certain philosophical principles that Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, and he's explained them in the beginning of the book. Then he's given the second part of the book is a very literal translation of the Bhagavad Gita. So in the first part, he talks about karma. He talks about Krishna as Purusha, or God, the principle of God, of Purusha, Ishwara. He talks about, and one of the things he talks about is yajna, or sacrifice, which of course is a thread that runs throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And one translation he uses for yajna, he uses sacrifice, but begins by using the word offer, or offering. So he explains there, of course, this principle we all know, and Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that unless you offer something to others, you repay for what you've received, then you can never be happy in this world or in the next world. This is a two-line shloka in Bhagavad Gita. For one who doesn't perform sacrifice can't be happy in this world or the next world. So why is that? Because you're being greedy, really, is the idea. You're taking and taking and taking, but you're not reciprocating. We have so many obligations when we come to this world. We've been given everything. Everything is set up for us. The civilization is there. We inherit so many things. We heard just within the last few days about especially how we owe the sages and our forefathers. And we owe all living entities, actually. I've explained this previously in class, how everything is so connected. We're all indebted to so many people, thousands or millions of people today, because everything is so interconnected. Just to get one thing, you know, we're getting something that was produced in California. So by the time it gets to us, how many people have been involved in so many transactions so that we can eat those almonds or whatever it is? So we're indebted to so many people along the way. We can't even eat unless we... without taking the benefit of so many other people's work. So there has to be some kind of reciprocation. There has to be some payment. Krishna says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Yo bhunte stena eva sa, one is a thief. If one enjoys the things that are being provided, there it's in the context, of course, of the demigods providing, because ultimately, nobody in the Central Valley of California can produce almonds if the demigods don't help out. They're behind it all. They don't get the rain and the sun. And of course, now it's a big problem, isn't it? They're running out of water. It's a big problem. So, unless those things are supplied, the devas, they have control of these things. Unless they supply, then we can't eat. We can't survive. So we have to appreciate this. There has to be some reciprocation. Just basic human decency, you can say. It's not some kind of sentiment, but it's just basic human decency. You're getting something. You don't get something for nothing. You have to pay for it. So express your gratitude. Show. Give something in return. So this is what sacrifice is about. So here we're hearing that sacrifice, one of the results of sacrifice is that it frees one from the results of karma. Now, of course, when we hear this, we may think, wait a minute. I thought karma, when you're doing something karmic, you're just going to get more karma. So there seems to be what's implied here is that, first of all, there's a kind of counteraction, we know. If you owe something, then you give something, then you kind of even out the debt. But as we learn in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, your heart never gets clean. So in one sense, you're never free from the debt, and you keep incurring more debts. And every time you do something, you may pay some debt, but then there's more that happens. And even there's compound interest. Prabhupada talks about this in one place. He says, just like, for example, if you give someone, I forget exactly the numbers he used, but you give someone 100 rupees, then in your next life, you have to come back to collect 400 rupees. The interest is there. So it goes on. Even when you do something good, you have to come back because the person has to pay you, so you have to be there to receive it. So it's so entangling. Karma is so entangling. We get caught up in these things. And of course, we're always doing something. So there's all these intricate, as the first canto says, labyrinthine knot, the labyrinthine knot of karma. It's just a wicked mess of reactions. So we don't get free from it unless, of course, we perform devotional service. That clears the heart. That really takes care of the debt. Somewhere, I think it's at the later on in this chapter. Yeah, a few verses from here. Devarshi bhutatrininam pritrinam akinkaro nayam rini tirajan. You may be familiar with this verse. It comes in the 11th canto. This is also Narada Muni speaking. And he's saying the Vaishnava becomes free of all debts by worshipping Krishna. So Narada is here this time, and he's listening to this, but later he speaks, and he explains that we become free of all debts by devotional service. So I'll just jump to the purport here, and the last verse that we read, of course the point is made, those already renounced in Krishna consciousness, like Vasudeva himself, need only cultivate faith in the Lord's devotees, his deity form, his name, the remnants of his food and his teachings, as given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So again, the point of faith. Faith comes up in that verse, that last verse, and it also came up in the first verse that we read today. So the faith has to be there. If one has faith in these things, especially this list is given here, the Lord's devotees, his deity form, his name, the remnants of his food, and his teachings. What is that song we sing on Ekadashi? Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Sopa Punyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. So Vishvas means faith. It's like Shraddha, it means faith. So one has to have faith in prasadam, the benefits of prasadam, which is one of the things that's listed here. That, of course, makes it, of course, it is prasadam. We get some benefit, but the more we understand and have faith, this is actually Krishna. We have so many nice examples of that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, I was just reading recently Chaitanya Bhagavat, and there was one place with Lord Chaitanya, I forget where it was, maybe it was at Advaitacharya's house, and Lord Chaitanya just went on and on and on praising that prasadam. How wonderful this prasadam. Even the fragrance of this prasadam will give one liberation. You know, the fragrance of this rice will give one liberation and so on. Just praising prasadam like anything. So the Lord's devotees, his prasadam, his deity, all of these things, and his teachings, of course, ultimately, Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does it mean to have faith in these things? It means to take advantage of them, to get the benefit of them, to take advantage. Krishna's holy name, that's also mentioned in this list. We take advantage by chanting Hare Krishna. I often think about how somehow our program, we don't actually have a lot of kirtan. We have a little bit. We chant Hare Krishna for maybe 10 minutes at Mangala Arati, maybe 10 minutes at Guru Puja. That's it. That's our this is supposed to be the congregational chanting movement of Lord Chaitanya, but we actually don't have a lot of it. We chant our japa. So I was thinking, when we do chant, we should chant with enthusiasm. Keshe was saying, how Prabhupada said, we should chant loudly. So when there's this verse where one should serve others, para upakar, by sankirtan. Of course, we also serve just by chanting. We go out in public and we chant. We chant loudly. But there it said with four things that you have in your possession. Pranar, artar, diya, vacha. So vacha is one of them, words. So our words, we're serving Krishna and serving humanity ultimately. Just by serving Krishna, we're serving humanity. By our words, especially the Maha Mantra. And also involved in chanting our words is prana also. Prana means life, but it means the life air. When you chant, you have to use your prana. In fact, there's one place where Prabhupada says that chanting Hare Krishna is also pranayama. Because you have to breathe. And you use your lungs to expel air. Remember, your prana is coming out in glorification of Krishna. So we should chant with some volume, with some enthusiasm, if we can, of course, if we have the energy. We should expend some of that energy, use it, chant with some enthusiasm in glorification of Krishna. Because what are we doing, of course? We're calling out to Krishna. So we shouldn't be timid. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, please, Krishna, please, engage me in your service. Help me. I'm drowning in this material world. I'm calling out to you. So this is our fate. This is our sacrifice. Yajyai sankirtana prayer, yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who are intelligent in Kali Yuga perform this sacrifice. And sometimes I think we have so much about sacrifice in our books that in many ways it's kind of irrelevant. But we have to understand the principle of sacrifice, which ultimately it's for satisfying Krishna. Yajyavai Vishnu. Sacrifice is for satisfying Krishna, and we do that by calling out to his holy name. All right, I'll stop here. Let me just read the last verse. I always like to read one verse at least. This is the most auspicious path for a religious household. Actually, they may have noticed in this verse, it says Griha Medina, and it's translated as religious householder. I did a quick look on the Veda base. Usually Prabhupada, of course, we know how he translates Griha Medina. But there are quite a few places where it's just a general word, and here it's translated who perform, it just says, well, Medina means who perform sacrifices, and Griha means at home. So Griha Medina means those who perform sacrifices at home. And then I think the word Dharma is here somewhere, maybe a previous verse. So this is the most auspicious path for a religious householder of the twice-born orders to selflessly worship the personality of Godhead with wealth honestly obtained. That's another whole topic there, huh? Sat karma, which we're supposed to honestly obtain our income. So any questions, comments? Janmashtami Prabhu?
I can't remember actually where I found it. It was in Folio. This is like a few months back. I was looking for references on Prabhupada emphasizing chanting louder than the mind. And I think it was from the memoirs. I can find it because I saved it somewhere. But apparently when he left the Grihastha Ashram, he spent 2 weeks in a Gaudiya Math in Calcutta And he was chanting super loud. Mm-hmm. And then there was another time, maybe Gary Raj saw me. It was this, when the whole thing with Mr. Nair was going on in Juhu, he was chanting Japa very loud. Mm-hmm. It was such a heavy scene. Yeah.
Something else, Chiragram? Oh, did Maharaj have something? Go ahead, Maharaj.
Didn't see.
Well, on loud chanting, once I was struggling hearing the chanting, and Prabhupada said to chant loudly.
Mm-hmm.
And once our godbrother, same type of question in Bombay, and Srila Prabhupada also said, chant loudly, wherever you are. and Dravida Prabhu said, no, Pancha Dravida, well, what about, like, what if we're in an elevator? People might get disturbed. They won't get disturbed, just chant loudly. But I did have a comment on the gold.
Mm-hmm.
Our godbrother Dhananjay Prabhu in England told me that when he was a new devotee, he had read in Srila Prabhupada's books that there was gold in the Himalayas. And he was seeing that the devotees were poor, the temples were struggling. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, is that gold is still there? Prabhupada said, yes. And Dhananjay said, do you know where it is? Because he thought he'll go and get some. And Prabhupada said, yes, I do. So can you tell me where it is? And Prabhupada said, no, I won't tell you where it is. And then he said, the real wealth is devotees. So if you make devotees and care for devotees, that's bringing the real wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jai Prabhu said he took that to heart, and I think after that Prabhupada gave him the name Dhananjay Das.
Actually, there's a letter Rupa Nuga Prabhu wrote to Prabhupada about turning gold, mercury, what is it, bell metal into gold with a mercury, and he asked Prabhupada if he could learn how to do it. And Prabhupada didn't, he said, no, he said, we're not into, he said, if we get too much money, we'll fall into Maya. That's incumbent in our nature. So he didn't want us producing gold. And even though it's, then he said in one walk, I think, he said, you have to drink mercury and then you urinate on the bell metal. That's some process like that. Of course, when you drink mercury, you die. It's heavy, heavy poison. So only a yogi can do such something like that. Okay, Jivikram.
So when Maharaj Yudhisthira was doing the Rajasuya sacrifice, he sent his four brothers to the four directions and they conquered the world and they collected taxes from all the kings.
Mm-hmm.
That wealth he used for that sacrifice. When he did the Ashwamedha sacrifice, Lord Krishna told him that King Maruta left a stockpile of gold in the Himalayas. And so his brothers went there and they got maybe some of the gold, because there was so much gold, they had to get like mule and elephant and so to fetch it. That was when he did the Ashwamedha sacrifice.
Gold is indestructible. I was just reading that recently. So it's there somewhere in this world. That gold is around. Of course, maybe the Indian ladies are wearing it as jewelry now. Somehow it filtered out through society.
I was thinking in Antalila, Haridas Thakur replied on loud chanting he glorified. He quoted, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quoted this verse, Pasupakshi kita adi bolitena pare, sunile harinam tara sabetare. Japile se harinam apone se tare, uchchasare kirtan paro upakar kare. So if a devotee want to be well-wishing to the world, then he should chant loud. And if somebody chants quietly or not loudly, only he is benefiting himself, it does not benefit anybody else. So therefore, Haridas Thakur concluded that one must chant loud. This way it will be benefiting him and everybody else in the world. Those verses.
Very good. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.